Today's What Do You Think program is brought to you by your local Huron County Farm Bureau agents, Bill Weitzel in Pigeon, Corey Vollmer and Deb McBride in Elkton, Casey Yon in Harbor Beach or Ubley, Deb Croswick in Unionville, and Tim Fritz in Bad Axe. Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
It is currently 12 minutes past 10 o'clock. A couple of guests today on our program. Our guests are Bob Brown. He is from Sandpoint, and he is going to be the one operating the post-production movie and video studio in Caseville when it opens. We also have Dave Vizard. He has formerly worked with the Bay City Times. He now works locally as a realtor and has been heavily involved in this project. I appreciate you both being with us.
Good morning.
Nice to be here.
Give us a little bit on the studio, Bob. Where did the thing stand, and how did this all get going?
Well, it's a long story about how the studio came about, but basically, I am a lifelong summer resident of Sandpoint, and like many folks that are blessed to spend time in Huron County, my family and I always wanted to relocate to the point. So a few years ago, I started investigating what kind of opportunities and options I could do from a business perspective in the region. And I am a professional feature film producer. I've produced 7 movies, and I started my film career with Michigan native Jeff Daniels, and we made a little cult film called Escanaba in the Moonlight, which has been very, very successful. And Jeff and I went on and made a few other movies together, and then he kind of went back to acting full-time, and I continued on. So as a filmmaker, I can pretty much work anywhere that I want. And so I was checking into opportunities and options for Huron County, and Carl Ozentowski, who is the director of the Huron County Economic Development Corporation, called me one day and said, "Hey, Bob, you know, there's this little grant that's available. Do you think we could use this money to build a film studio?" And I said, "Well, we probably can't build a film studio, but we might be able to consider a post-production studio." And that's really started the ball rolling, and that was probably 2.5 or 3 years ago. And now the studio is under construction. It's approximately 50% complete, and so I expect to have a certificate of occupancy sometime in the very latter part of this year or early next year.
What is the difference between a post-production studio and a production studio? Is it basically you take the footage or the video after it's been made somewhere in a full sound type studio where they do these things, and then you make a finished product out of it?
Well, basically, post-production is the third phase of filmmaking. And, you know, most people don't have any idea as far as the logistical exercise that a feature film goes through. But basically, you know, you have the first stage, which is development, which is the, you know, you write the screenplay and you attract and attach the actors to it and the crew and you obtain the financing for it. That's basically development and pre-production. And then production is when the cameras actually get turned on. And production is the shortest period of all the phases. That's the shortest period. One of the longest phases is post-production, because once that 200,000 feet of film has been shot, which is the average amount of film shot in a feature film, it all has to be edited down into about 9 or 10,000 feet. So the old expression of the, you know, of the scene being ended up on the editing room floor is very true, because the vast majority of what shot is never used. And so editing is a huge, huge process, and that's a post-production process. Then, of course, we create all the music. So we compose the score, and we record the score, and we lay the score in. If we've licensed music, then we obviously obtain the license, and we, you know, put those songs in appropriately. We do, you know, we clean up all of the technical issues, whether it's dialogue that you can't hear that was recorded, you know, on the street in a semi Hall and Sugar Beach drove by at the same time and you can't hear the dialogue. We'll lay that in and we'll clean that up. We add all the sound effects, whether it's a door squeaking or a floor squeaking or a car door slamming or a radio being turned on or a radio being turned off, all of that is added in. So post-production is a very intense, very detailed oriented process. And it can take anywhere from, depending on the size of the project, from 6 months to 2 years to complete. And once you get on the far side of post-production, then you finally have a film that can be seen by the general public. So the studio in Caseville is designed really to handle that side of the business as opposed to, you know, the production side of the business. Although, there's a space in the studio that we could use for very small, you know, close contained scenes, whether it be, you know, green screen stuff or just a simple set we could build inside that particular studio and shoot it. But, you know, it's really not designed for the production phase. It's a specialty that will be in post-production.
Because most of the time the actors have moved on to far future projects and they don't need to be called back for a little scene. They hope you guys can just do your magic in post-production.
Yeah, and actors do looping, you know, which can be the background sounds, or that we can ask them to do additional dialogue recording, which they could do in the studio, or they could do long distance now with the technology that we have. But it'll really be the technical folks that'll be hanging out at Sandwalker Studios far more than the production folks. I wouldn't be surprised if a famous folk is seen walking down the sidewalks of Caseville. That wouldn't surprise me at all.
Is it part science, part artwork? Because it seems like, you know, you have to know the technical part of it, but also to make the scene work, you have to, you know, build the music to the right point. You have to do all of these things that might seem mechanical, but there's an artistic flair to it as well.
Well, Craig, what I love about filmmaking and storytelling is the fact that, it's subjective. So no matter what movie I've made, from the best to the worst, I've had people come up and say, "That's the best movie I've ever seen in my life." And I always say the same thing. "My friend, I got to get you out to see more movies." And the guy behind him has always walked up and said, "Bob, that is the worst movie I've ever seen in my life." And it doesn't, you know, as I always say, it doesn't bother me. I don't care if you love it or hate it. I just want you to see it. And because it's a subjective, you know, it's a subjective medium. So, you know, when you ask somebody what's your favorite movie, you'll get a different answer from every single person, and that's the beauty of the business. And what works for me won't work for you, or might not work for you. And you obviously try to tell a story that makes sense. You try to tell a story that is compelling. You try to tell a story that is entertaining, you know, and holds people's attention. And you try to elicit the appropriate emotional response, whether it's laughing or crying or, you know, or confusion or anger or whatever. You're trying to do that and tell that tale in 90 minutes. And that's the challenge. The challenge is you've got 90 minutes. I mean, you know, the adages in the industry are you basically have 8 minutes to get your audience member in. He either has to suspend belief and subconsciously agree to go for the ride. But if you don't do it in the first 8 minutes, you know, you won't. And the most common comment, if you're polling audience members, the most common thing people will say, 90% more than anything else, is the movie was too long. And if the movie was too long, you know, some people think that a 90-minute movie lasts 2.5 hours, and some people think it lasts, you know, 100 minutes. But if they walk out thinking the movie's too long, then you lost them from a pacing perspective. Somewhere along the way, you know, a scene lagged, or you know, they got the point sooner than we thought they would, or something along those lines. And so you are, you're challenged with trying to get an audience to walk out saying, you know, that was a good movie, and doesn't have to be the best movie they've ever seen, but the goal is to say that was a good movie, and for them to actually say, "Hey, I saw this movie last night. You should go see it." That's really what we're trying to do. So it's a lot of art, but there's a technical side that stands behind it.
When editing a film, how much autonomy do you have? I mean, you've had a director who went through the whole shooting, and he had a vision of what he or she wanted to have come out of this, and you may have a little different view. Do you have to collaborate, or do you give them a preliminary cut and they like it or don't like it? How does that work?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a highly collaborative business. It's a highly collaborative. The way that I work is that everybody's welcome to put their two cents in. Somebody has to, there can only be one captain of a ship, and somebody has to be the final decision maker, and that'll be me. And the reason why in my movies it's me is because I'm the guy who put his neck on the line and, you know, committed to tell this particular tale, to go out and raise the money, to pay for the production. And so I'm the guy who ultimately answers to the financiers of the film. So it's me. And you hopefully hire people that are on the same page with respect to a vision. But it's interesting because in filmmaking, they actually say there's three movies. The first movie is the interpretation of the screenplay. So somebody writes a screenplay, and you embrace that story, and you read it, and you create a vision. And that's one movie. The second movie is the movie that's shot on the set. So that vision and that decision is communicated, and everybody seems to agree that this is the direction you want to go. And so you go out and you shoot this film. Well, the film you shoot generally is different from the film that is written. And then the third and the final movie is the movie that comes out of the other side of the post-production process. So you shoot 200,000 feet of film, and you're only going to use 9,000 feet. So, you know, so that film is a different film, usually, than the film that is shot during production. So the guy who's most dissatisfied, usually, in the process, is the writer. Because he wants to tell a story, and he tells a tale, and you say, okay, let's make that movie. But by the time it gets pushed through the process, what comes out on the other side is usually vastly different from what, you know, his original vision was when he sat down at his computer set and I want to tell a tale about this particular guy, subject, whatever. So it's interesting how the whole thing comes about.
And the only one more dissatisfied would be the writer of the book the screenplay was based on.
Yeah, or the screenplay itself, because oftentimes there is no book that you know, serves as the inspiration for the story.
Tell us a little bit about the facility that's going in Caseville. How big is it? What's going to be inside?
The facility is 5,200 square feet, so it'll be the biggest building in downtown Caseville.
And can you give us a
building? And it's actually divided into three components. One third of the building is a live music recording studio. So as I said, when we compose the score for a film, when we record that, that'll all take place at the studio itself. One third of the building is, you know, they are the post-production suites, whether it's for editing or sound design or Foley, which are the sound effects. Those types of things will take place in those suites. Plus, that's the general administration and the green room and things like that for the studio. And then what I'm excited about, obviously, besides the whole project, is the last third, which is an open two-story kind of a gathering space that we envisioned would have many uses. And it could be an intimate performance venue that would allow us to bring in lectures or small music acts or plays or serve as an art gallery. Or it could be utilized as educational space, because we're working towards getting an educational component attached to the studio, trying to get an opportunity for high school kids in Huron County and tied in with a college, so that we can get high school credit and college credit for classes that we industry oriented classes that we establish and hold at the studio. That's a space as well that could be. I could use for small productions, you know, and could be dressed appropriately. So it's kind of a multi-purpose side of the facility, and you know, part of the goal is I've created a nonprofit company called the Thumb Arts and Entertainment Council, and one of the things that I've been feeling strongly about is the opportunity to enhance cultural and entertainment opportunities for the folks that live in the region. So what I'd like to do is schedule a whole bunch of events and schedule them throughout the off season. You know, hold them from September through May, and you know, bring in, as I said, bring in lecture series, or bring in music, or bring in authors, or bring in speakers, show award-winning documentary films, something that's non-commercial, you know, that people might not have the opportunity to see, and kind of use it as a cultural enrichment center. And that's part of the, you know, that's part of the goals and the objectives of the studio as well.
Okay, we're going to pause 60 seconds and we'll be right back.
What do you think of when I say the word retirement? Sunny days in Florida, a quiet lake in northern Michigan. Your first thought should be your Farm Bureau insurance agent. Farm Bureau has helped out thousands of Michigan people enjoy happier, more secure retirements. IRAs and annuities, a lifetime retirement income, big tax advantages, and competitive interest rates. Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company of Michigan is rated one of the 50 most outstanding life insurers in America. So call your Farm Bureau insurance agent today. Remember, it's not who you call after retirement, it's who you call before that makes the difference. Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
Contact one of your local Huron County Farm Bureau agents. Casey Yon in Harbor Beach or Ubley, Deb Croswack in Unionville, Bill Weitzel in Pigeon, Tim Fritz in Bad Axe, or Deb McBride or Corey Vollmer in Elkton.
Michigan, my Michigan.
We are back. It is currently about 28 minutes past 10. And our guest today, Bob Brown, who is going to be operating the post-production studio and for video and movies in Caseville. And Dave Vizard, he was formerly with the Bay City Times. He's a local realtor, but he's been heavily involved in the project, including a documentary that I believe is going to be one of the first projects coming out of the new studio.
Yeah, it will be. It's the first project to go through the studio. And again, it's just kind of a part of the grand vision. And the documentary is called Chasing Jimmy. It's roughly based off of Mike Moore's first film, which was Roger and Me, when he was chasing Roger Smith around in the 80s trying to get him to sit down for an interview. And, you know, Caseville is well known throughout the region for the Cheeseburger and Caseville Festival, which has become, you know, if not the largest festival in the state, one of the largest festivals in the state. And it's such an economic driver in the region that, you know, frankly, I was wondering what I could do to enhance the longevity, because one of my concerns is, you know, it's an event that's marketed, and I think it's only practical to assume that, you know, events will sooner or later run their course. And, of course, the rumors were running rampantly for years that Jimmy was going to show up at this, Jimmy Buffett was going to show up at this festival. And because I'm in the entertainment business, you know, I thought, well, I could probably get an opportunity to make a legitimate pitch to Jimmy and try to convince him to come, and why don't I film it and do a little bit of a you know, regionally oriented documentary. And what excited me about that was the fact that, you know, documentary films are marketed different than any other medium. You know, this film, when it's complete, will go to film festivals around the country. It'll be distributed, you know, domestically and internationally. It'll come out in DVD and be sold in, you know, Walmarts and Best Buys, you know, across the country, and it'll be sold in territories overseas. And so it's going to market Huron County in a way that Huron County's never been marketed before. And so my good friend Dave Vizard lives down the street from me, and we were talking about it, and I said, would you like to help? And Dave has been a huge help, because although I'm a lifetime summer resident, there's a big difference between a permanent resident and a summer resident, and Dave knew all the folks that we could go to that might want to help us put this little film together. And so Dave, I brought Dave on as a producer, and he's been just invaluable in his knowledge and resources of the local community, and I couldn't really do it without him. But
plus, it's been a lot of fun.
It has been a lot of fun.
Yes.
How do you go about producing this? I mean, is this something that kind of falls hand in hand with your old work, or do you is this something totally new, David?
Well, it is in a couple of different ways. You know, the name of our documentary is Chasing Jimmy, and as a columnist at the Bay City Times, I started chasing Jimmy about 8 years ago, and trying to get him to come to Caseville and talking to his people. And you know, from the very beginning, it seemed like it was a pretty futile effort to get him to come here or even recognize the Cheeseburger and Caseville Festival. But it always made a great column, and I think, you know, that's the kind of thing that helped fuel the rumors that, oh, this year he's coming, this year he's coming. And you know, the one thing about it, you know, whether he comes or not, it really doesn't matter, you know, because the festival and what makes the festival great is the spirit and the community that drives the festival. But it always is interesting. And so, you know, when I was editing True North magazine, Bob Brown was one of my contributors, and he wrote for the magazine, and so that's how we got to know each other. And you know, he one of our talks, he said, you know, someday I want to build you know, make movies in the thumb, and I thought that is terrific, and so I jumped on board and have been helping him in every way I can, from the work on the documentary to helping with the studio. So it's been really a great experience, and it's going to be a terrific activity and a terrific facility for the Thumb of Michigan.
Can I ask how far along the documentary is? Have you shot it and you're just waiting to put it all together, or is it still a work in progress even as far as shooting it?
Well, you know, we started doing interviews last winter, and continued right through the spring, and you know, we've you know, talked to people around town. Bob's been down to Florida to shoot some footage, and then of course, you know, during the festival this year, you know, there was, if you happen to attend, Greg, I'm sure you saw how spectacular the event came off again, and that'll all be part of the project. So we're moving ahead, but now we're coming up to the, you know, the real critical, the, you know, putting the final pieces together, and that's where Bob wanted to chat with you a little bit about an intern.
Yeah, Craig, I've been using another key individual from the area, Mike McCleary, who's a filmmaker from the area, has been a big help with the documentary Chasing Jimmy, and you know, Mike's been shooting a lot of the footage. He went down to Florida with me, and we went out east, and we're, you know, we've been trying to, you know, the film is really going to be, from my perspective, I've always thought, you know, the Thumb is the best kept secret, you know, in the state, and you know, I'm really proud that I've had the opportunity to spend so much time up there. And I, you know, it's my favorite place in the world, and so this project coming together and using local resources has really been a blessing. You know, we've had great financial support, because this is a very, very, very low budget movie. I mean, most of the movies that I've made have fallen in the ranges with budgets of $1 million to $7 million, which is still small budgets for feature films. You know, we're making Chasing Jimmy for less than $100,000, so most everybody is contributing their time and their effort and their energy and their resources just because they want to be a part of the project. But we have had tremendous financial support from some of the folks around the community, and I'd like to take just a minute to thank those people. But also, after that, I'd like to talk about this intern that we're looking for to help us edit the film. So, you know, is it all right if I run down a list of sponsors? Is that cool by you?
Go ahead. We'll see who's involved in this. They all get a credit at the end?
I think that means go for it.
Okay, good. Well, ABCI.net is our naming sponsor, so that, you know, that group out of Pigeon has been a huge, huge support. You know, we've gotten support from the Caseville Chamber of Commerce, the Caseville DDA, Key North Surf Shop, Rob Pillsworth has just been a huge, huge help. Independent Bank, Thumb National Bank, Shearer Hospital, Huron Medical Center, and Brown Builders. And of course, we're always looking for financial assistance. So if somebody wants to be a part of this project, you know, they can get a hold of me, and I'd be more than happy to talk to them about the opportunities. You know, that the game plan now is that we'll have a big whoop-de-doo, and that's a film term, whoop-de-doo.
It's officially a term.
Premiere in Caseville, you know, probably next May. It'll be a world premiere, which I'm sure will be the first time that the Bay Theater has hosted a world premiere, but that's going to take place. And, you know, it's really a community effort, and so I want to give my thanks to those folks that have stepped up and helped us out. But the other thing that we're doing is we're seeking a student intern because, again, part of the mission of San Walker Studios is to, you know, enhance educational opportunities for the young people in the area. And so this position was created really as a result of discussions that Dave and Mike and I had, and Mike Mulcahy is going to serve as the editor of the film. But he needs some help, so we're looking for a high school student to jump on board and give us a hand during the editing process. And, you know, they should understand that, you know, this is an entry-level position, so it's not something that will be, grand and glorious as far as the challenge is concerned, but it's certainly a great opportunity for somebody who wants to be a part of a professional filmmaking experience and wants to learn from experienced filmmakers, you know, about the process. But it is in the editing capacity, so it's probably going to take about a month of their time, and they're going to have to get themselves to the editing location, which unfortunately is yet to be determined, but most likely will be on Sandpoint. So they'll need their own reliable transportation. And it's probably about a 20-hour-a-week commitment, so it's a significant commitment. And it's going to last, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, which is the heart of the editing process. It's the meat of the editing process. And so it's a non-paid position, but they will get credit. They will be credited on the film. And that is a big step in moving towards starting a professional career in the film industry. And so if somebody is interested in that, they should send, you know, a cover letter to me and explaining, you know, who they are and why they're interested and what experience they have. And hopefully they've tinkered around, you know, are a budding filmmaker of sorts. And they can send that resume or cover letter to an email address, which is very easy. It's Sandwalker, S-A-N-D-W-A-L-K-E-R, intern@gmail.com. And if they can get those in, then in a few weeks we'll review them all and we'll make the selection, contact that person, and hopefully they can get their, you know, their filmmaking career off the ground. So we're excited about that.
And is this usually how people start getting involved in the business? Is it an apprenticeship, an internship, something that gives them a taste of it and a little bit of something to put on a resume for the next try they make?
Well, you know, this is what I love about the film business. You know, here I am, as we speak right now, I'm in Farmington, Michigan, and sitting in my office in Farmington. And I've, you know, been in the business for 12 years and have made 7 features and 1 documentary and produced a record album. And, you know, I've been able to do it all from Farmington, Michigan. And the thing that surprised me was that, you know, this is a huge, huge, huge industry, but it's a small, small, small community. And so once the only way that you can become a member of the community is by doing it. I'm a huge proponent of higher education. You know, I would never discourage anybody from going out and getting a degree in filmmaking. Because I think that there's so much to be gained, you know, through higher education. The overall, the entire experience is part and parcel. It becomes a life experience. It becomes a part of who you are and who you become. That being said, it's not mandatory in this business. And, you know, there are many a filmmaker who me being one, I was fortunate enough, I went to Albion College. My degree is in economics and management. So I never in a million years, in fact, I didn't become a filmmaker until I was 42 or 43. And, you know, and it was a complete, you know, 180 as far as what I, it was an opportunity that presented itself, and I jumped, and lo and behold, you know, I found out that this is what my passion is, and this is what I love to do, and so I just love the creative process. I like building things, and I'm a storyteller, and therefore, you know, it was a match made in heaven. But, people ask me all the time. I was just at the Bay City Hellcat Mile Film Festival a week or so ago. Dave and I went down and caught some movies, and I sat on a panel, and the question is always asked, you know, what's a budding filmmaker to do? And my answer is, in Michigan, there's a huge independent film, there's a huge group of independent filmmakers in Michigan. Coming to a place like Hell's Half Mile Film Festival is a great opportunity because they tend to go and they tend to hang out, and so they start talking. Even in my situation, you know, I met some people at Hell's Half Mile, and we've had a number of communications, and my goal is to bring a feature film to Huron County. So, you know, I'm looking for those types of opportunities. But you don't have to go to school. It's not bad to go to school. It's never bad to go to school. So, but it's not required.
Okay. You mentioned the term Sandwalker Studios. Is there a story behind that?
Yeah, Sandwalker Studios. So one of my favorite things in life is to walk the beach on Sandpoint. I'm an avid beach walker, and I happened to go to another world famous post production facility in Marin County, California, which is known by the name Skywalker Ranch. And if anybody's a film buff, Skywalker Ranch probably rings a bell because that's George Lucas's empire. And let me tell you, Skywalker Ranch is one impressive facility. It's probably 50 or 75 acres, you know, and you need a bicycle or a golf cart, you know, to go from building to building to building. And of the 25 buildings that George has on Skywalker, when I got out there and I did the final mix, the final sound mix at Skywalker on my last feature film called Bonneville, I was out there and I arrived at the facility, and I called my wife immediately and said, "Oh my God, Lauren, you married the wrong man, because holy cow, this place is super, super impressive." But, you know, I decided then and there that when I built my studio, you know, I was calling it Sandwalker because I directly wanted to rip off George Lucas, and it seemed to be a name that makes sense. So that's how Sandwalker Studios was born. We can thank George Lucas for his contribution.
And anybody who's been to Kaysville knows about walking the great beaches here and throughout Huron County.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot of great places here that are largely unexplored by the outside population of Michigan and the Midwest. And so, I think the studio and our documentary is going to shine a new light on Huron County and our great natural resources and assets here. So this is going to be great for the Thumb, great for Kaysville, and great for the people who live here.
Hey, Craig, how long have you been in the area?
I've been here for 30-some years.
Oh, okay. Well, then 30-some years. Okay, so...
I'm finally considered a local.
But I heard a story about... I heard a story about 10 years ago, I'm going to say, about this oddity that occurred in the late 50s. And, you know, it was a spoof, but it was it's kind of a Sasquatch type story, but it was the Little Blue Man. Did you ever hear
the Blue Man story?
Was running around Huron County in the late 50s?
Oh, yeah, we've heard that story.
Yeah. So I heard that story a long time ago, and then it floated across my desk again, this week, and I go, I wonder if that is, the gist of a feature film. I like period pieces, so for me to shoot a movie that takes place in the 50s, I think would be really fun, you know, and And I was talking to somebody yesterday, and he goes, I think the population in the late 50s of Huron County is greater than it is now, unfortunately, you know. But so if we thought about that as a potential story for a feature film in Huron County. We thought about, I'm a great fan of pirate lore, so I've been, you know, writing a pirate's tale that takes place in Huron County. Dave and I have collaborated a little bit about a 1960s-oriented kind of a adventure story that takes place in the early 60s that involves the fishing industry. So, you know, our wheels are always spinning to come up with this, you know, with this. You know, and let me tell you, feature films coming to an area, the people that benefit the most from feature films coming to an area are the people on Main Street. Because when I made Escanaba in the Moonlight in Escanaba, Michigan, in 2000, you know, we left $1.2 million in Delta County, and we were only there 60 days. So when I'm talking to, when I made a movie called Super Sucker in Jackson County, in Jackson, Michigan, and, you know, I left close to $2 million, you know, in 90 days in Jackson County. And when you think about the economic impact that that has, you know, last year a film called This Must Be the Place hasn't come out yet, but it's close to coming out. The Sean Penn movie, you know, they were in Bad Axe for 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Real Steel came up and spent time in Oblie and Bad Axe. And Real Steel, I think, comes out this Friday or came out last Friday.
Came out last Friday, yep.
That's getting great reviews. So that's the thing, is that when a movie comes to town, sure, it's fun, it's exciting, it's, you know, unique, but it leaves a huge positive economic dent, you know, in the community, because we just walk in the door and time is of the essence for us, so we buy what we need. And it's just like a circus. You know, we travel with our own fuel, we travel with our own medical, we travel with our own food, and, you know, as much as we can, all of those services are picked up locally. And, you know, we're buying props, we're buying wardrobe, we're buying, you know, the secondhand stores, they get a bump like they've never seen in their life, you know. And so, you know, one of the goals that Dave and I are working on is to do that, is to, you know, come up with a story that we're comfortable with and we can get behind and get excited about and get a screenplay written and raise some dough and go make the movie, and it'll be, you know, it'll be the pride of Huron County, you know. You know, hopefully. For those who love it, it'll be the pride of Huron County.
Okay.
For those who hate it, not so much, but that's okay.
No, it'll be great.
How many jobs are coming with us? You're going to have some sort of staff there all the time. I imagine when you've got musicians coming in, the job numbers are going to spike here and there. But
well, the interesting thing about that is you know, the industry, the entertainment industry, one of the things that budding filmmakers should become aware of is that we are all, you know, economic gypsies. And what I mean by that is that we work job to job. And with a studio, obviously they line up, you know, enough jobs to, or enough, you know, enough gigs to walk in the door, you know, to provide some consistency. My mandate with the studio is to create 15 jobs. Now, when I shoot a feature film, you know, I create anywhere from, depending on the size, probably the smallest one I've done, I created about 100 jobs, and then the largest, you know, I've probably created 300 jobs. And those jobs are specific, you know, they're specific to the pre-production, production, post-production, and then even distribution. So, depending upon, you know, the person's talent, they may be hired for pre-production only. They may be hired through for pre-production and production. They may be hired for production and post-production. But it just depends on what they do and how they do it, and, you know, what our needs are. So my mandate is to create 15 jobs, but, you know, the likelihood is, depending upon the size of project, there's going to be far, far, far in excess of 15 jobs created. And, you know, the length of those jobs could be anywhere from, you know, 30 or 60 days up to a couple of years, just depending upon the project. But that's the way that the industry works.
Is it word of mouth?
Of course, there'll be a few, you know, for lack of a better word, I guess, staff positions, you know, that will be day in and day out, you know, opening and closing the studio and things like that.
How do you fill these positions, the temporary ones? Is this something that you just know these people or know a place to call and they know good people to send you? I mean, I wouldn't even know where to start.
Well, here's the interesting thing. The best thing for me was that when I made Escanaba in the Moonlight, I was the executive producer of the film. I was the CEO. It was my job to, you know, build a company, manufacture this product, the movie, and then close this company down. And all within a relatively short period of time. And the cool thing about it was that 95% of the people I hired were Michiganders. 65% of the people I hired in front and behind the camera had never been on a film set before. So, you know, my belief is that talent is everywhere. There is a plethora of untapped talent throughout the world. You can drop me in any state in the union and I can make a movie. Give me 30 days to prep it and I can make that movie. What lacks is the opportunity. So the fact that somebody doesn't have a ton of experience doesn't bother me. The fact that somebody, you know, has preconceived notions or has not the work ethic, you know, or the willingness to learn or the willingness to listen, I mean, those things bother me as a potential employer. But the fact that, listen, how can I expect somebody to walk in the door with a seasoned feature film resume when the reality is, there hasn't been that kind of opportunity? But I can tell, you know, I can spot passion a mile away. I can spot intelligence and interest, you know, and work ethic. And listen, it's, you know, I came into the business when I was, you know, 42. I've done a lot of things in my life. This is by far the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Bar none, I work harder now than I've ever worked in my life. And that's because look at the size and the scope of the responsibilities. You know, it's not a 9-to-5 job. It isn't. You know, I'm going to have people working at Sandwalker at 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, I'm going to have people working through the night. You know, it's just the way the business works. When I'm actually cameras on in production, my day is typically 20 hours, and it's a 7-day-a-week thing. And so it's definitely not for everybody. Definitely not for everybody. I mean, people that when we have, you know, visitors on a set, that's what they say. Holy cow, I had no idea. Because it's literally the circus that's taking place, you know. And you've got
and Bob is the ringmaster
doing all this work. So that's the thing that I'm excited about.
Well, Bob,
giving people those opportunities.
Bob, our time.
I mean, look at Dave. Dave never produced a movie.
Okay,
and
right
here,
Dave.
I am.
Okay, Bob, our time is just about up. Is there like a website or something people can go to find out more about what you're doing?
I lost you, Craig.
Oh. You still there?
Yeah, I lost you.
Oh, I was wondering, do you have like a website or someplace people can get some information? Because
well,
we're running out of time.
The studio is not created yet. So
work in progress.
That's on the to-do list. But, you know, people have been tracking me down directly and emailing me, and I can give you that information. Again, for the intern, let me for that high school student who wants their break, it's sandwalkerintern@gmail.com. And then if people have general questions or they want to get involved with the documentary, you know, we're still looking for additional support. So if people are if they like what they hear and they want to be a part of the grandiose picture, the big picture, they can email me at charityislandpictures.
Okay.
Which should ring a bell to the folks up in Huron County. charityislandpictures@gmail.com.
Well, I appreciate you taking time today. We got to run. We're out of time. It goes by so fast.
It does. Well, thanks, Craig.
Thank you, Craig.
Thank you both for being with us.
Okay, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Take care.
Mm. Our guests today on the studio have been Bob Brown. He is the one putting in the operating the post-production studio in Caseville. Also, Dave Vizard worked formerly for the Bay City Times, now a local realtor, but heavily involved in the documentary they're going to be creating. I do want you to stay tuned. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll clue you in on all the latest in the news.
Today's What Do You Think program was brought to you by your local Huron County Farm Bureau agents, Bill Weitzel in Pigeon, Corey Vollmer and Deb McBride in Elkton, Casey Yon in Harbor Beach or Ubley, Deb Croswick in Unionville, and Tim Fritz in Bad Axe. Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.